Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for prayers in the Bible. And we thank you as we look today in Genesis 18 at the obvious example, Lord, of you putting it in Abraham's heart to pray, to see what you are going to do, how it would work with his prayers. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us in this time as we look at Genesis chapter 18, in Jesus' name. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis 18. And you know, we've been looking at Abraham, and we've been following him a little bit, to chapter 15 with the Abrahamic covenant, and then we had God promising him that he would have a son, and then years go by and no son, and then in chapter 16, Sarah has the idea of Abraham going into Hagar, which occurred, and here Ishmael is born. And we know that probably was a contentious time in the home there, because we know that early on we see that after Hagar became pregnant, she despised Sarah and at one point was even kicked out, but God took mercy on her. Then we go for like 13 years until we hear again from the Lord speaking to Abraham, and that's in chapter 17, and we see now Abraham is 99 years old, and God says, I'm El Shaddai, I'm the all-sufficient one, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant with you. And then we go on to chapter 18 now, and we have the son of promise, and now we're getting close, because within a year of this time, there's going to be a son born to Abraham through Sarah. And we have this visit now of these two men, and one is the Theophanies of Jesus Christ, we believe, that they stop by and visit Sarah, and they tell them that about a year this time, Sarah is going to bring forth a son. And of course, we know the story where Sarah laughed, and of course, Abraham laughed too, but Abraham was not laughing in unbelief. He was just seemed to be laughing in joy. Sarah, I guess, had laughed in unbelief to a degree. And so the child's name was going to be Isaac then, which means laughter. And then we come, right after that account, we come to these three men getting ready to leave. And now we get into this great intercessory prayer where Abraham is going to intercede for Lot and his family, basically, at any rate, intercede against the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah if some righteous people can be found. And you know, it starts out with 50 and goes on down and so forth. But how does this intercessory prayer need be known to Abraham? And we see a very interesting thing here. In verse 17, we read, and the Lord said, shall I hide it from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. So we see here God letting thus know through his word that he is considering, and then he lets this made known to Abraham. And so what do we see about prayer in this account? Well, several questions. First of all, does prayer begin with God or with man? It begins with God. He puts it in our heart to pray, doesn't he? Now, how about you? Your prayers, are they generally your plans which you bring before God and then say, oh, God bless my plan? That's really not true prayer. That's really not a very good prayer, is it? Or maybe a dangerous situation. You crawl out on a limb and then you want to pray to God to not cut it off. Has that ever happened to you? I'm afraid, Lord, of the situation I've gotten myself into. I knew what I was doing, but I got in here. I shouldn't have done it. Now protect me. He always wants to hear from you, but that's not necessarily the best prayer. The best prayer is if you're out on a limb because of the Lord, he will protect you. And then with regard to this situation here, as it might relate back to you, seeing a need coming up, does God frequently enlist you as his partner, resulting in prayer for something he wants to do? Does that ever occur to you? I'm sure it does. And I would pray after just these thoughts today that you would keep that in mind as you see God putting it in your heart to pray, that maybe he's enlisting you as his partner in getting his will done? And finally, are your prayers always based on a promise or maybe a warning or a conviction of God's will? That's the really true prayer. When you're standing on the promises of God, or you're praying as a result of a warning from him, or you're praying as a result of a conviction of his will. That's really true prayer. So we see here that God says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing, since he shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him?" He is here becoming basically the friend of God, isn't it? And God goes on in verse 19, "For I have known him in order that," in other words, why have I made myself known to him? The reason is that Abraham may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So he's calling Abraham to be close to him as a friend of his, and then he will work through Abraham, through his family, and eventually through all the world. Through all the world, he will be blessed. Why? Because the Messiah will come through that line. Now the Lord says in verse 20, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know." Well, what do you think? Did God not know what the wickedness was in Sodom? Yes, he knew exactly. But it seems like he's giving an opportunity for repentance here. He's getting an opportunity for an intercessory prayer to be impactful in this situation. And I believe that's the reason he's making this prayer need be known to Abraham. And we'll get into that actual intercessory prayer next time. But just wanted you to think today, is your prayer life a reflection of God enlisting you as a partner with him? Would you say seldom or rarely? Or would you say from time to time? Or would you say frequently? Does your prayer life reflect God's enlisting you as a partner to do what he wants to do with him? And then secondly, do you claim his promises as a central part of your prayers? If not, consider doing that. Okay? Father, we thank you for the example of prayer here in the book of Genesis. And we see Abraham as called a friend of God, and how you've called him, the Messiah, to come through his line. And so, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. And we pray that our prayers would be a reflection of you enlisting us as a partner with you to have your will done. And we pray that we would incorporate your promises as a central part of each and every one of our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.